This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, here we go. Friday night. Welcome back, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, the fastest 2 hours in radio. And I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Before we get underway tonight, many different ways to connect with us. You can always join us at Twitter, at eRadioSports. Email the show, info at eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. We've got an amazing program and lineup over the next 2 hours. We're going to talk about the NBA. The Astros, they're down in West Palm Beach. Spring training underway. Some PGA news and notes. And, of course, hanging out with the Big E tonight is my boy, Robert Harris Jr. And, of course, give him a follow at Twitter, at Robo Harris Jr. Always ready to talk some NBA and to talk about your Rockets.
Oh, yeah, most certainly. I mean, they're playing pretty good right now.
Okay, well, you know, it's hard to believe there's only 6 weeks left in the regular season. So kind of give us the pulse on where the Rockets are at this point, and are they trending in the right direction?
They're trending in the right direction. I mean, big victory over Golden State without James Harden, who had the neck injury and the flu. That was last Saturday night. And also big victory Wednesday night against Charlotte Hornets. So they're back to normal. I mean, CP3 is playing at 100% right now, dishing out the passes, facilitating the ball to his players and making the threes. I don't know. I mean, CP3 is known for the mid-range shot. He's not known for shooting from three, but that's when you get into that Mike D'Antoni system. Mm-hmm. You change as a player.
You know, when we talk about CP3 or Harden, talk about the front line. I mean, like, what's going on the inside? Because obviously, if you want to make a deep run into the playoffs, not just, you know, I mean, get there, but to make a deep run and a shot at a championship, you got to have your big guys.
Well, yeah, you do. And it looked like on Wednesday night, they tried with P.J. Tucker, Capella.
Yeah.
Tried that. I mean, Fareed is coming off the bench. That is energy coming off the bench. And that's where you need him at, to give that rest to Capella. So, I mean, I like the front court. I like what they're doing with Harden. I like what they're doing with Capella. I like what they're doing with Tucker. So, if they could just keep that going. And maybe we have some. Maybe the Rockets will have something leading into the playoffs, have that run.
Okay, we hit on the Rockets. But you know what? In our next segment with Robert Harris, we got to talk about the state of the Lakers. Yeah, they come up with a win at home against the Pelicans. LeBron James, 33 points. So be sure and join us in that opening segment, hour two, as Robert Harris. We're going to open up the mic once again and have him back with us. Much more coming your way. SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour number one, SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Alyssa Walker-Campbell along with you. Many different ways to connect. Join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports, and the NBA conversation will continue. But we always have to pause and recognize the folks that power all of us at SB Nation. And at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, we are ready to hoop it up. We are now going to pack our bags and head out to the Western Conference and shine the spotlight on the Utah Jazz. The Jazz, they had a big win on Wednesday night against the Clippers. They were in action on Thursday, and we are delighted to have with us this evening the Jazz television play-by-play announcer, and that is the great Craig Bowler-Jack. I never get tired of hearing his voice. Good evening, Craig.
Hey, good evening, Alyssa. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to have you back on the program in 2019.
Well, I appreciate it.
And
yeah, great to be back.
Of course. And so, you know, the Jazz right now, they're sixth in the Western Conference standings. And as we just kind of step back and reflect on how the season has played out, I mean, it's been up and down. And there's 6 weeks left in the regular season. So what are the realistic expectations for the Jazz and how this all ultimately will end up?
Well, it's going to be an interesting run as you look at the standings in the West. I mean, it's such a tight you know finish. The Jazz have about 20 plus, just barely over 20 games to play. And I'm staring at the Western Conference. I'm kind of addicted to it actually because okay, it doesn't really change that much,
right?
But it's so tight, it's so close. And you look at really 3 through 13. You know, I can't count out the Lakers to sneak in and grab an eight spot because of LeBron. But, you know, the Thunder, the Blazers, the Rockets, the Jazz, the Spurs, and the Clippers, along with the Kings, who've been a surprise, they're still hanging in there along with LeBron. But, you know, yeah, it's time to make your move. It really is. It's that time of year with 6 weeks, five and a half to go, that the Jazz are in a position to see if they can't grab a home court first round spot, which would be one spot higher than a year ago. They did upset and surprise the Thunder in round one as a five seed against the four, and then went to Houston and got beat by Harden and company 4-1. So, you know, the Jazz kept this team intact, as you know, mostly, except for Jonas Jerebko, who signed on with the Golden State. Mm-hmm. And they brought a kid on from the G League, George Niang, who's played some limited minutes. But it's pretty much the same team we saw last year, trying to grow and watch Donovan Mitchell continue his growth in his second year, Rudy Gobert making strides, and a guy named Joe Ingles, who continues to you know, just kind of impressed with his three-point shooting and really one of the best, you know, jawlers in the NBA. He can get after you pretty good.
So when we talk about the Jazz going forward, I mean, what are some of the biggest issues they need to address, and what does the approach need to be? Who or what is the prescription?
Well, the prescription is focusing on less turnovers. I think the Jazz get into a situation where they live ball action, they get into trouble trying to make a play. Like most teams, Lissa, but it's where I think it starts with the point guard, with Ricky Rubio. He's had some up and downs. There's been some solid nights. But I think, again, if they need to with injury, if that pops up again, Donovan Mitchell can run the show. Raul Neto off the bench has proven that when he's healthy, has been a very strong piece at running the show as well. But I think the Jazz, when it really comes into play, two things. They're a very good defensive team still with mm-hmm. Gobert and Derek Favors, but they've got to take care of the ball better. Too many turnovers. A few nights ago, they had 25 against OKC in a double overtime loss and gave up 30 points. You can't give extra possessions to teams like the Thunder and the Warriors and the Blazers. Those guys will take advantage and run it right down your throat. They love to play downhill, as you know. And so I think that's where I would start. I think the Jazz have got to take care of the ball, do not allow extra possessions to their opponent, and also be more consistent from the three-point line. When they're on, they're one of the toughest teams in the league. But if they slip up a little bit, I think it's such a fine line they walk on a given night.
Hey, Utah Jazz television play-by-play announcer Craig Bowlerjack, the great Craig Bowlerjack, with us tonight, SB Nation Radio. And as we zero in on the Jazz, let's talk about the heart of the Jazz, and that, of course, is Rudy Gobert, the reigning NBA Defensive Player of the Year. And I have to tell you, pretty disappointed for him that he did not make the NBA All-Star roster. Have you had a chance to visit with him? I mean, he seemed like he was pretty hurt, and he didn't hide his disappointment.
Yeah, he was hurt. You know, he took a lot of grief from other, you know, players around the league. Kind of got a little emotional, to be honest, mm-hmm. about being slighted this year. In his hearts of hearts, there's no one that I know that works as hard as Gobert. And he wears 27 for a reason. That is to remind him on a nightly basis where the Jazz picked him up, actually. Got him from Denver. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the motivator, the respect that he's trying to earn. I think, again, too, he has to continue to improve his offensive game. Defensively, the Gobert factor, as we like to call it in Salt Lake City, is evident every time he hits the floor. And he's been on a wild run of shot blocking, terrific rebounder. And even when he does take his shots, he's in the top five in field goal percentage. So the numbers prove out he's deserving. A lot of talent, though, in the West, and he's going to probably have to improve his offensive game to get to that next level.
Okay, you just mentioned offensively. What would you like to see him improve upon? I mean, he's averaging, 15 points per game.
Yeah, you know, he's getting to the free throw line a lot. A lot of these buckets that he gets are designed by Quinn Snyder. They call it the high pass, and he rolls through the rim and gets a lot of buckets on top. I think when he gets into trouble and they kind of stack the paint, Rudy's got to be able to find a way to score with the Kareem-type jump hook.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's the sky hook, but even to step back from the bucket and maybe be a threat from 4 to 5 feet. I know that doesn't sound like a large task, but for big men, I think he's got to be able to, you know, face the basket, even hit some small baseline jumpers. Not to take it outside and be a stretch five by any means, but I think he has to he has to find and put something into his offensive repertoire. How about that? To just be more effective on a given night and help open the floor up even more for Donovan and Joe Ingles and even Kyle Korver, who comes off the bench, and Jay Crowder. So I think Rudy's offensive, if he can grow offensively, obviously will only help himself and the Jazz.
You know, you bring up Kareem. Boy, we sure miss those dominant big men in the NBA back in the day. I know you've covered the league for many, many years. We need to, as NBA fans, I think we need to place a greater value on what they do and what they can provide.
Yeah, the bigs are kind of, if you can play in this league, and, you know, I saw Dirk Nowitzki the other night when he was in town and had a chance to talk to him. He changed the league, as you know, with three ball, with the three-point shot as a seven-footer. Olajuwon did the same thing back in the day. We're going back a little bit here, so I'm going to age myself.
I won't tell.
You know, it's amazing, you know, honestly, that most bigs now have the ability to stretch the floor, and instead of a stretch four, there are some guys that can be a stretch five, and that they have that ability to hit threes from the corner and run down floor and hit a trailer three. This league is changing every day, and the three-point shot is right in the center of it. And I think, you know, even Quinn Snyder constantly reminds us that he tries not to put a label on players as a 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. He says, you play in the NBA. And that's really kind of, I think, the way that coaching is going, is that they want you to be a multiple player that can play the point. You can play the two as a shooting guard. If you have to, you can play three. You can run up and play small as a four. And, you know, the five still is a special spot. There's no doubt. But that five also has to be a unique player with very specialized skills, not only defensively, but also, as Rudy, as we've been talking about, Rudy, to improve his offensive game. And I think that's where the league is at. It's all focused on the three. And obviously defense still has a little bit, not as much as it used to, as we've been talking about. We saw the All-Star game, right? They didn't play defense until the final 5 or 6 minutes. But, you know, I think there's room, and the Jazz are built around defense. A lot of teams aren't, but the Jazz are hoping that they're a bit of an oddity. But I think they've got the potential to disrupt other offenses. They've shown that, and that could play the factor they need in the playoffs.
Well, today's game has certainly changed. Talking about versatility, but also the NBA, it is focused on speed and, as a result, small ball. Craig Bullerjack has been with us tonight, Utah Jazz television play-by-play announcer. He'll be on the call against the Milwaukee Bucks on Saturday night. Craig, safe travels, and we will talk to you during the playoffs. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Anytime. Great to talk with you.
Of course. Much more coming your way. The fastest 2 hours in radio, SB Nation Radio. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday night. Welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio. The Big E Sports Show. Alyssa Walker-Campbell along with you. And I'd love to hear from you tonight. We're always live on Twitter. All of you aficionados, join us at eRadio Sports. You can email the show info, eradiosports.com, and podcastarena.com. It is time for some NBA news and notes, but we first have to pause, recognize the folks that power all of us at SB Nation and at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest price. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Well, indeed, it is time to hit the hardwood, and it's been a while since our next guest has been on the program. It is so good to have back with us from CNN Sports, also ESPN. That is Motez Bashara, who serves as a feature writer for them. And how are you, Motez? Good evening, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Big E. Always a pleasure.
Well, you are certainly taking care of business in 2019. I know we had a chance to visit earlier this week, and you scored a sweet interview with the Miami Heat, the legendary, the iconic player in Dwayne Wade, and his All-Star chapter starting to come to a close. What did you learn about this inspiring star?
Well, I always figured he was a good guy off the court. I mean, you could definitely tell with all his philanthropy work and all his, you know, his causes, his protests for against social injustice, and you know, all his interests off the court, whether it's fashion or wine. So he's a very well-rounded intellectual individual, and I was really excited to meet him, and he didn't disappoint at all. I mean, he's a gracious person. Off the court, he certainly gave me a good amount of time and was really engaged and thoughtful about his about the questions I was asking him. And you know, he's had an absolutely legendary career, and he even had a legendary night this week. You know, where he had that incredible buzzer-beating three-pointer over the Warriors, and you saw how engaged that crowd in Miami was. The place just erupted at the AA Arena. So. He's really one of the most beloved people in Miami, and he'll definitely stay there. It's his home.
Well, there's been a lot of talk over here in the States about should Dwayne Wade consider retirement after his recent hot streak?
You know what? I think he's comfortable with the idea of retirement. He told me that after last season, after their loss in the playoffs, he thought about just shutting it down. In fact, he was convinced when they lost to the Hawks that when he walked off the court after the playoffs, that was the last time he would play an NBA game. But then he reconsidered. You know, part of it was he said he had lost some of his love for the game after the death of his longtime agent and business manager. His name was Henry Thomas, and they were very, very close. He was almost like a father figure. And he said he just lost the passion, but then, you know, he took time to consider it in the offseason and said, I don't want to go out like that. I want to go out on my own terms. Give me a chance to say goodbye to the fans and give the fans a chance to appreciate everything and say goodbye to me. And I think, you know, the All-Star weekend was a good farewell for him, and now, you know, he's still playing at a very high level, but I think he is comfortable in the fact that he's looking forward to life after basketball.
Hey, feature writer with CNN Sports and ESPN, also author. We're looking forward to his latest release. Our good friend Motez Bashara joining us tonight, SB Nation Radio. He just scored an exclusive interview with Dwayne Wade. And as we talk about Dwayne, I mean, Motez, he's 37 years old. He is still a young man, a lot of exciting things ahead of him. What did he share? How does he envision the next chapter of his life going after retirement? I mean, does he want to be a coach? Does he want to be a businessman? What does he want to do? I mean, he's a very deep man.
Right at the moment, he said he just wants to exhale and take some time off for himself. I think he wants to process everything and really, you know, resolve having the end of a career in his mind and get out of that mindset. And then he's got a lot of options, you know. I mean, he's got his foundation, of course. He's very engaged in fashion. Obviously, his wife, Gabrielle Union, is a big personality. She's an actress. She's also a big fashion personality as well. So, you know, he's got his wine business, too. So he's got his hands in a lot of different things. Not to mention, he's got a son named Zaire who's, I think, a junior in high school who's getting recruited by some top schools, so he wants to be involved in his son's future basketball career too. So he's got his hands in a lot of different pots, but if he wants to go into coaching, I'm sure the Heat will, you know, throw out the red carpet for him if he wants to get into management. I have a feeling he will remain a part of the Heat in some way or another, whether it's just being an ambassador for the team or being in management or even in coaching. I'm not sure, but he's not revealing anything at the moment.
Dwayne Wade, as we talk about him, a future Hall of Famer, no doubt about it. And here we are. I mean, it's hard to believe. I mean, Motez, there's, what, 6 weeks left in the regular season. Did he share with you kind of the struggles that Miami has had? I mean, what, they're 10th in the Eastern Conference right now?
Well, I think they're only two games out of a playoff spot, believe it or not. So I think he's probably hoping to be able to sneak in, you know, and that win over the Warriors has got to be a big morale booster for them, you know. They beat the best team in basketball, so why not, you know, that adds some belief. I mean, at the moment, they're honestly just one game out behind the Hornets. So they could definitely sneak in. I mean, they've got some young talent, but, you know, there's still a team very much in transition. you know, he provides veteran leadership. I think that's, you know, and some clutch scoring, as we can see. So I don't think that, you know, they haven't thrown in the towel yet. I think they're still trying to get in the playoffs.
Okay, so let's move ahead. Let's talk about the Western Conference and what in the world is going on with the Lakers. Who do you think deserves the most blame for their struggles? I mean, LeBron lit it up on Wednesday night and had, what, 33, but it has been a very difficult season for sure.
It's a difficult season. Listen, this team is still close to 500. They are a vastly improved team from last year when they were, like, you know, a bottom dweller in the conference and an easy lottery team. So everyone's thinking this is a failure, but, you know, you add one guy to the team. Granted, he's the best player, you know, in the league and perhaps one of the greatest of all time, probably is, but it's not enough. You know, they have, you know, two-thirds of the team is very, very young, and one-third of the team is very, very old. That does not make for a championship contender, unfortunately. And, you know, LeBron's style is he goes to a team, and they bring in a lot of veterans, a lot of people he's comfortable with. They shake things around, but as we saw in Cleveland, that doesn't always work, and sometimes it creates chaos in management. You know, we saw in Cleveland what happened, you know, two managers end up leaving, one right before, one during his tenure, one right after the general manager left, and now that team is in shambles. So, you know, there's a lot of upheaval that comes with LeBron. You know, for all the good things he brings, he does shake things up. Is it his fault that they're in 10th place? I don't think so. I mean, without him, they'd be a much, much worse team. You know, it just takes more than one guy and more than one season to turn things around when you're one of the worst teams in the league.
You know, you mentioned Cleveland, and as we talk about LeBron, I mean, as we reflect on his decision to go to the Lakers, I mean, should he have selected somewhere else to play? I mean, the Lakers, yep, being 10th right now in the Western Conference, I mean, they're in a difficult position. They may not make the postseason, but do you question his decision from last summer?
No, not at all. I mean, I think he had made his decision long before the season was over, Okay. Frankly. I think he was very much leaning towards L.A. You know, he's got his places there. He loves the city. It's all, you know, there's a vacuum in terms of a superstar there, and everyone from Wilt to Kareem to Shaq to, you know, has moved there to become a star. So he saw what they could do, and he thought, you know, I could do it too. And the glory that comes with winning with the Lakers, I think, is unmatched anywhere else in the league. So he wanted a crack at that. I don't blame him. Why not? It's a great city. It's a great lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is he didn't do this just for basketball reasons. If he wanted to just win, you know, he probably could have gone somewhere else and had a better shot at it, obviously. You know, he wanted the lifestyle. He wanted to entertain his hand in the entertainment business. He's obviously got his movie production business. So it's more about empire building and legacy and branding than it is just about wins and losses. You know, I don't think he honestly believed he was going to dethrone the Warriors.
Well, he is surrounded with, you know, a young cast, a young roster. So I just have to wonder, and want to pick your brain on this, what's going to be the key to a winning formula? I mean, there was so much talk, you know, when the trade deadline was, you know, here and it's gone. But in regards to Anthony Davis, I mean, what kind of piece do they need to add to the puzzle?
For the Lakers?
Yes.
Well, you know, I think they're certainly better off not having traded for Davis, because looking at what they were going to give up, I think it was two first-round picks, mm-hmm, plus Kuzma, plus all these other guys on the team. You know, it just, Lonzo Ball, I mean, they were going to give up all their young talent plus two future first-round picks for a guy who just got injured and is probably going to sit out the rest of the season, or maybe just play, you know, parts of the season. As great as Anthony Davis is, him and LeBron together don't, you know, it's not enough, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I think they're much better off sitting it out and then trying to sign some free agents, whoever they may be, whether it's trading for Kyrie Irving, who's got 1 year left on his contract and clearly wants out of Boston. or, you know, one of the other top free agents out there. But trading for Davis wasn't going to do it.
Hey, good stuff tonight. Feature writer, CNN Sports and ESPN, also author Motez Bashara has been with us at the next generation of sports radio, and that is SB Nation Radio. Safe travels, and Motez, we'll catch up with you real soon, I promise.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Of course. Much more coming your way. SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour number one, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Looking forward to our next segment. But first, at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you're guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, right now it is time to go inside the ropes. We're going to visit with former PGA Tour player. He is an author. He is absolutely amazing. And that is the great Larry Miller. Good evening, Larry.
Good evening to you and all your listening audience out there, all the golfers who are getting their clubs out of the closet and ready for a new season.
Well, we're trying to muscle through all this rain and crazy spring weather, but it's all part of it, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Here, too, down in New Orleans, it's just constant rain. We're just looking forward to spring and wondering if it's ever going to come, really.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking to you about Dustin Johnson, the WGC Mexico Championship. He wins his sixth World Golf Championship last Sunday. And, Larry, I mean, when you watched him, I mean, he just dominated. He made it look easy. He is now a 20-time winner on the tour. I just want to get your thoughts and takeaways on another big win for Dustin, who makes it look oh so easy.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, he is just an incredible talent.
Yes.
You know, I think if Dustin Johnson had the same focus and desire, and I'm going to say seriousness of purpose of a Jack Nicklaus or Tiger Woods,
mm-hmm.
he just might end up being the best player ever of all time. He's that talented. I mean, look, when he's clicking on cylinders like he was, as good as McIlroy is, he just left him in the dust. And nobody else was within 9 shots or 10 shots of him. The guy, you know, when he plays like that with that sense of purpose that he gets, and you can't tell by looking at him, but when he gets that way, he's unbeatable. Because, listen, Chapultepec, the course they play there in Mexico, Chapultepec Country Club.
Yes.
I played the Mexican Open there in 1990, and they did redo the course in 2012, I think. But it's still basically the same layout. And it's basically a strategy golf course. It played only effectively 6,300 yards for these tour players at that altitude, which means it's a pitch and putt course.
Right.
So you would think that one of the shorter, accurate, more meticulous, strategic type players would win there. And here's Dustin Johnson, who's known for his power game, how long he hits it. But yet he wins this tournament on that golf course. And that's a testament to how good this guy really is. He can win at 7,500 yards, and he can win at 6,300 yards. And he's dialed in his wedge game. What he's done with that is use the TrackMan when he practices to get right down to the yards that he hits every shot with every wedge. And that has really kicked his game up a notch because along with his power, and the biggest thing is his attitude, is his temperament.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy's emotional makeup, you know, he's like a flatliner. And you wonder, you know, you wonder what kind of sedative is this
right.
guy, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like he's on sleeping pills. And even mm-hmm. in the interviews, you know, it's like, ho-hum, you know, I just played a round of golf, and I won, you know. And it just kind of goes along. But all those things put together make him just about unbeatable when he has that sense of purpose. And like I say, you know, if he had the Nicklaus, focus or Woods, there's no telling. I mean, he might win every week. Is that good?
Well, as a result, Dustin Johnson earns himself a lifetime membership on the PGA Tour at the age of 34. And as you're talking about, Larry, I mean, wins like this will help him get continue to get closer and closer to being that number one player in the world, to get back to the top. And I like what you brought up, talking about DJ, how he has really learned to just recalibrate. You know, his game travels well, whether it's in the United States or in Mexico. He wins the WGC championship by 5 shots, but he has really learned how to dial in, and as you're talking about, hit those wedges. So I want you to share with our listeners tonight, talk to us about the importance of wedge play. Give us your keys to hitting wedge shots like darts.
Well, all you have to do is sit down and analyze your round of golf and see how many times you've used a wedge and putter, for that matter. And you're going to be amazed. It's like over 80% of the time you've got a putter or a wedge of some kind in your hand, whether it's a chip, a pitch, a full wedge, a half wedge, three-quarter wedge, whatever. And that's where the scoring is. You know, you can – There's lots of guys that bomb it down the fairway all the time, but it's the ones who hit those short shots who get up and down when they do miss a green. And then when they do have a wedge in their hand to a green, whether it be full, half, or three-quarter, they get it inside 10 feet or closer. And then they make the putts. They make a number of the putts. Not all of them, but they make a high percentage of those putts. So when you consider how many times you use the wedges in your bag in a round of golf, and like I say, all you listeners out there, next time you play, go back and count how many times that you've used a wedge of some kind, any kind of wedge shot. You're going to be amazed how many times you use it. So why not learn how to dial those in? And the way you do that is by practicing all the shots with your wedges and finding out exactly how far you hit each shot. It's easy to do. You don't need a $25,000 track man to do it. Uh-huh. Yeah, you got a range finder. Just put your practice bag or whatever, a towel or something out there on the range, or a friend, and start hitting wedge shots of different kinds, and take your range finder, shoot it, see how far it's flying in the air. If you do that conscientiously, you're going to figure out how far you hit a full wedge, a three-quarter wedge, a half wedge. You do the same thing with 30, 40-yard pitch shots and see what kind of swing carries the ball a certain number of yards. Take the time to do it, and I'll tell you, you'll chop all kinds of shots off your game. It's amazing. But people want to get out there and beat the driver on the driving range, all day. That's not where it's at. You know, and everybody can do that. It's the Dustin Johnsons who can learn how to combine his power with that deadly wedge accuracy. Those are the guys that prevail.
Hey, we are so glad you're with us. Friday night, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio. Many different ways to connect. We would love to hear from you. Always live on Twitter at eRadioSports. You can email the show info@eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. Our special guest who joins us each and every week inside the ropes is Larry Miller. And right now, I'm going to pause and allow Larry to connect with you and tell all of our listening audience tonight across the nation about your brand new website.
Yeah, it's LarryMillerGolf.com, and what I'm doing is that I'm offering video instruction online. It's very simple. You get on the website, you click in which program you want to sign up for, and then you send me videos of your swing, 4 videos, 2 with a 5 iron, 2 with a driver, mm-hmm. 2 face on, and 2 down the line, target line. You send those to me, email to me. I look at them, I analyze them, diagnose the problems, get back with you telling you what I saw, what I suggest, and I give you appropriate drills to reinforce what I'm telling you. And then we have a telephone consultation about your game and how it's going and talk further about it. So it's really beneficial. It's an easy way to improve your game and get really good instruction. So check it out. It's LarryMillerGolf.com. And also, all of my books are available on that site.
Outstanding. Of course, his latest release is What He Never Told the World, Ben Hogan's Secret Fundamental. Okay, just a moment ago, we were talking about Dustin Johnson and his big win, WGC Mexico Championship, just his wedge play. It's been impressive. And I was asking you about wedge play. So educate us a little bit more on that particular club and the bounce of your club. What is it, and how do golfers use it? Because most golfers golfers don't even know the amount of bounce that they have on their wedges, and it is actually quite important. It can be your friend with chipping and pitching.
Yeah, well, the bounce pertains mainly to the sand wedges. The pitching wedge and the gap wedge are typically in the, 8 to 10 degree bounce range. And then the bounce on the sand wedges, it depends on the course you play all the time. It depends on the type of sand you're playing. If you play a real a course that has real powdery, soft sand, like that great beach sand they have down in Florida, then you want a sand wedge that's got a lot of bounce on it in the 12 degree, at least 10 to 12 degree degrees of bounce. Because you want that club to slide under the ball, not dig. Now, if you're playing a course that has firmer sand, where it's kind of wet all the time and packed down, then you don't want that because it's going to hit that hard surface and skip into the middle of the ball. You'll scull it. So you want to get something with maybe an 8-degree bounce at the most. So it depends on what kind of sand you're playing. Now, when you're hitting shots out of the rough, or from the fairway with your sand wedges. Once again, let's talk about the type of grass you're playing. If you're playing Bermuda grass, which they have down south mostly, then you want something that is not going to dig as much. So you maybe a 10 degree bounce wedge out of the rough. Now you want the club to slide. You don't want it to dig, because if your club digs in high rough, it's going to stop the club,
right,
and it's going to dig too deep into it. So then you want something more of a 12. So what I suggest is to carry a couple of wedges, sand wedges in your bag, one with maybe 10-degree bounce and one with 12, or one with 8 and one with 12, depending on the grass. But that way you're equipped to handle any type of grass or sand that you encounter. You don't want to have both wedges the same bounce because you're going to play different courses. You're going to have different shots around the course, and you want to have a little versatility with your wedges. And bounce, of course, we all know what bounce is. It's the leading edge of the club.
Right.
It's how it's angled. If it's sharp edged on the bottom, then it's a low bounce, like 8 degrees. But if it's not sharp edged, it's more rounded. Then it's a higher degree bounce. That's how you tell. But anywhere you buy your wedges, they'll explain to you, and you tell them what kind of grass, what kind of sand you're playing, and they'll make sure you get the right one.
Okay, so as you're talking about, the whole point of bounce is to prevent, as you had just said, the leading edge of your club from digging into the ground. So it's actually, as a result, it's going to allow you to have more control over distance, and hopefully it's going to reduce that margin of error.
Absolutely, and it'll prevent you from, from hitting the ball thin or sculling it or hitting too far behind it. It makes a big difference, and you don't want to be playing with the opposite amount of bounce for the sand or grass that you're playing. It's going to be detrimental, and you're going to really struggle with those shots.
Our PGA News and Notes continues as we are inside the ropes with Larry Miller after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number one, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, we're going to go back inside the ropes and visit with Larry Miller. Okay, we're going to move ahead. Larry Miller with us a few more minutes tonight as we are inside the ropes, former PGA Tour player, and right now underway. Man, the PGA Tour, things are really lighting up. The Honda Classic is underway, and this is really a critical stretch early in the season for so many of these players. What do you look forward to the most with the Honda Classic? I'm sure it's the bear trap, right, Larry?
Oh, everybody looks forward to that because, we love to see the tour players and balls in the water, and
sort of
frustrated like we all do.
Uh-huh.
But no, the bear trap is quite a little turn of holes there, 15, 16, 17. Mm-hmm. It's fraught with danger is the way I like to say it. And, and then the wind blows, and boy, it just wreaks havoc. You've got water to contend with on every shot there. And when the wind starts blowing, it can be a nightmare. We've seen in the past some big numbers on those holes. That's the fun part of the Honda Classic. Unfortunately, only three of the top 20 are playing in this tournament, and that's because of the scheduling the way it is. And you have all these big tournaments bunched together. And then, you know, these guys can't play 5 weeks in a row. Something's got to give. A lot of them don't even want to ever play four weeks in a row. So you have to pick and choose, and it's a shame because some great tournaments and great venues, the players have to pass. Mickelson's talking about maybe skipping the Players' Championship. And then you've got McIlroy and Woods, Dustin Johnson, who live right near the course that they're playing in the Honda, and then none of them are playing, even though it's right there. Because they just can't play that many times in a row. It wears you out. You know, people don't realize that competitive golf is a drain. It's a drain on your nerves.
Sure.
It's stressful. And then that, in turn, affects you physically. So you end up fatigued if you play too much.
So what is the success, or what is the keys to success when you play the bear trap? Because visualizing that, I mean, it can be a... You know, visually, it can be pretty intimidating. I mean, I think back to the month of November, my son played in that Rolex tournament. He was fine on day one, but day two, he got a little bit too greedy on 15, and he was between clubs, and he hit it in the water. So he ended up finishing out one under on the fourth day, but it was a difficult stretch for sure.
Well, when you have to kind of change your mindset, your strategy when you get to those type holes. You need to get a little bit more conservative and not too aggressive. Depends on if the wind's blowing or not. If it's really windy, then you really have to dial it back and be very conservative. You know, I always teach the juniors I work with to safety first. That's one of my big mantras.
For sure.
Is safety first. If you don't think it works, take a look at Jack Nicklaus's record and the way he played. That's exactly the way he played, was safety first. Now, if he had a 110-yard wedge into a pin that was in the middle of a green, a receptive green, then it's a green light special. Then you become aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, you want to think safety first and then work from there. And when you encounter a stretch of holes like the bear trap, you got to kind of change your strategy. You want to try to get away from there with pars if you can. If you can par those three holes, the rest of the course is there to be had. And you're going to score. But you can ruin your round real quick on those three.
Absolutely. Hey, we are out of time. Larry Miller, who joins us each and every week, SB Nation Radio, Inside the Ropes. Check him out, LarryMillerGolf.com, and get a copy of his latest release. Larry, always a true pleasure. Enjoy the Honda Classic, and we look forward to talking about the Arnold Palmer Invitational that's going to be coming up, too.
Yeah, it's fun. Okay, it was a lot of fun. You all have a great week.
Absolutely. Much more coming your way. The fastest 2 hours in radio.